Tonight, if you would, take your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Going to deal with a subject that is very important to every believer. And we can be a believer and not have as much of this as we need. We cannot become a Christian without this particular element in our life. But there are much more things, and I'm talking about the little word truth tonight. In order for an individual to be saved, they must hear the truth. That's why it's so very important that preachers and churches stand for the truth of God's Word, and not to change things to make it work better or to make it more correct in our world that is always searching for something to be wrong. Isn't it an amazing thing that everybody's looking for something wrong and never looking for anything right? I guess that's human nature. I guess that's that Adamic lost nature that we have. We want to be on the negative side of everything, and I don't like to be negative. I don't like to be on that side of things, but so many things will push you there if you're not careful. We need to be positive concerning the things of the Lord and the things of God. And tonight, as we read in 1 Timothy, we'll read down from verse number 1 on through verse number 6. And verse number 4, the last few words there, the knowledge of the truth is what we'll be dealing with tonight. But I wanted to get these verses to us together to get the message. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. In the next verse, Paul says, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. Paul is dealing here when he writes to Timothy. Of course, we know that Timothy was a young preacher, and Paul is giving him instructions in his ministry. And he tells him that there are things that we need to have in our lives that are to help us to live a quiet and peaceable life. He tells us here that we are to have supplications and prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks to be made of all men. Every person that's living tonight should be thankful for what they have in their life and what God has done for them, and we are to pray one for another. Not only are we to deal with people that all men, but he specifically tells us that we are to pray for kings and for all that are in authority. Tonight, the problem in our country is this subject of authority. Nobody wants to come under authority. The world does not want to come under the authority of the Word of God, nor do they want to come under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, and of course under God the Father. And he gives us here that the Lord's will is that for all men to be saved. That is really a very simple statement that is so misconstrued and in some areas is just totally denied. But the Bible says here that the Lord, that we are to live godly and honestly, have good and acceptable in the sight of God, who will have all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants people to know Him. The Scripture says, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, the knowledge of the truth in salvation is a must. You cannot believe false doctrine concerning salvation and know how to go to heaven. It's very clear in the Word of God that we are saved by God's grace through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very clear in the Scripture that Jesus died upon the cross for mankind, and He offers Himself a ransom And he offers himself a substitute for those that are in this world that are lost. And he tells us here that he would have all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. I believe the perfect will of God, I believe the will of God for mankind is that they hear the gospel and they get saved. That he died for mankind, he died for people, he died for individuals, and he died that they might have life. And so that's the will of God. Now the problem with that and the difficulty in having that is that so many times they do not come to the knowledge of the truth. This thing of truth is very important. I've heard people say, and I'm sure you have heard people say, well, it really doesn't matter what you believe. Well, it does really matter what you believe. It is important in what we believe. Now, it does matter what we believe about salvation. And I believe that's why the attack has been from the devil from the very beginning, that he wants to do everything that he can to cloudy up and to muddy up the waters of pure salvation. For he does not desire that we come to the knowledge of the truth. And so there's much activities that have gone on for centuries and years, really since the beginning, have been many things take place to cloud up or to overshadow the good gift of God of salvation. And so it does matter what we believe. Now, what we believe after salvation will determine how we live. It will determine what we do and how we act and how we have our being. And so we can have a lot of false things in our life after salvation and still go to heaven. But I'll tell you what, we ought to go to heaven knowing truth. We ought to go to heaven knowing what the Bible says is the truth of His Word. Now, the Bible tells us in the book over in the Old Testament, back in the book of Hosea, the Scripture tells us in Hosea chapter number 4 and verse number 6. It says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Now, Paul tells Timothy we need to have the knowledge, the truth of the knowledge of the gospel. Here Hosea tells, and God is revealing to him, that the people of God are being destroyed because they have no knowledge, for lack of knowledge. He tells us here, "Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children." God says it all comes down to this thing of knowledge. Because of the lack of knowledge, he said, you have turned your back, you've forgotten me. And God says, therefore, I will forget you. Now, that same chapter of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 1, here we find the Lord gives us these words. It says, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land." Now that's a pretty strong statement. God says, I have a controversy with you. Have you ever had a controversy with someone? Ever had a disagreement with someone? Ever had a heated argument with someone? You have a controversy. God says here to the people of Israel, he said, I have a controversy with you because you have rejected truth, you have rejected mercy, and there is no knowledge of God in the land. You have rejected truth, so therefore the only thing that is left is just fables and fairy tales and make-believe. I'm telling you, most of what we hear today on the TV concerning world, what the world is made of, how it was made, most of what we hear, most of what our children are taught in the public education is nothing more than just fairy tales and make-believe. We have rejected truth. We have rejected the knowledge of God. We have rejected the knowledge of truth. And so Hosea is given a commission of the Lord. He says, you tell the people that God says, I have a controversy with you. I have an argument with you. The argument is because you have no truth. The argument is because you have no mercy. and you have no knowledge of God in the land. Verse number 2 says, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. Because there is no truth, there is no morality. Because there is no truth, there is no right and wrong. There's just so many gray areas. Well, if you feel okay doing that, it's probably okay. It doesn't matter if you feel okay doing it or not. If it's against the Word of God, then it's wrong, and it's not according to truth. And so the Scripture is very clear that we have a line that the Lord has given to us, and that line is called knowledge of the truth, or the knowledge of God, or to have truth in our life. The result of no knowledge is swearing, lying, killing, stealing, adultery, blood touching blood. That's simply murder. And so we see that all around our country. We see that around the world because we as a people have rejected the knowledge of God, the knowledge of truth. He says in verse number 3, therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish. With the beast of the field and with the fowls of heaven, yea, the fish of the sea also shall be taken away. Let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they have strived with the priest. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. Thy people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. And so here God lays it out through the prophet Hosea. The problem with Israel is that they had rejected truth. They had rejected the knowledge of God. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 59 and verse number 14, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street. Truth has fallen. Truth is no longer standing. Truth is no longer the measure of what we go by. Our justice system, our court system no longer uses truth, no longer uses righteousness. And so therefore, truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. And so we find that judgment is turned back and justice standeth afar off. You can't have righteousness. You can't have judgment, you can't have justice without truth. Without laws and regulations, you do not have anything at all to go by. The Scripture tells us that in the Old Testament that they did that which was right in their own eyes. No longer did they follow God's direction. No longer did they follow God's Word. But every man did that which was right in his own eyes, and it brought about destruction and damnation. Isaiah 59:15, the first three words there says, yea, truth faileth. Truth fails. Why? Because it has fallen in the street. In John chapter number 18, in verse number 38, Pilate said unto him, what a pointed question. What is truth? Pilate looks to the Lord. Pilate has accused the Lord, and the Lord answers him not. And there are the verses just preceding this. And so Pilate looks at Jesus, and he said, what is truth? What is truth? And then the Bible says, and when he had said that, Pilate went out again unto the Jews and said to them, I find in him no fault at all. When Pilate examined the Lord Jesus Christ, when Pilate questioned him, he had to come back and report to the crowd that was wanting to destroy the Lord. He had to report to them, I don't find anything wrong with him. I find no fault in him. I find it not at all. And so Jesus, we know, is truth. He's the truth of God. And as Pilate looked upon him, he recognized no fault. You and I tonight, in our country, in our world, is standing at fault. We're standing at a place where God looks at us and say, a rebellious people. God looks at the churches. God looks at religion. God looks at quote-unquote Christianity. And God shows and sees all the faults that we have and all the rejection of truth. It's an amazing thing to me that this book is so easily understood concerning truth, that people overlook it and go about doing their own thing and living their own life and never having any understanding or desire to serve God. And they just do what they want to do. And God says, now we have a controversy. The problem, the controversy, is over truth. The controversy is because you do not believe. It's there. It's there for you to accept, but you reject that. And so God says, we have a controversy. Romans chapter 1, I mentioned that this morning. The scripture tells us some things here in Romans. It says, because that which known unto God is manifest in them, for God showeth it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. We were just talking a moment ago out front about every tribe and every people of the world even if they have not heard anything about the gospel, have not heard anything about a holy and a righteous God, they have a inward desire and they have an inward thought that there is a creator out there somewhere. Man is innately religious. Man knows that there is a God unless he's been educated away from that. Man in his heart has been given the understanding and the knowledge that there is a God. We didn't just happen. We didn't just come about as they try to tell us. So there is a God, but yet we reject Him. The Bible says here, the invisible things of Him of the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They think how much wisdom, how much knowledge, how much ability they have, but yet when it's compared to the Word of God, and by the way, science and Scripture never are in controversy. Scientific truth is always, always in concord with the Word of God. So they profess themselves to be wise, and in doing that, they have become literally fools and foolish in their life. The Scripture says here that they've changed the incorruptible to corruptible. They've changed the way of God. They changed the glory of God in verse number 23. God gave them over to a reprobate or to an unclean mind. He gives them truth. They reject truth. He has a controversy with them. They go their way. God gives them over to uncleanness. They changed, notice in verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie. So there is truth that we deal with. There is this subject of truth that is very important. Pilate said, what is truth? Pilate, I believe, probably went to his grave wondering what really is truth. For he met with the Lord and he heard all the accusations, but yet he said, I find no fault in Him. So they changed the truth of God, and then they change themselves and have vile affections. You cannot reject truth and remain where you are. You cannot reject truth and stay where you are. You always go down. It's always a downward process. And so the Scripture says here in verse number 28 of Romans 1, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. What did they not want? They did not want truth. And they did not want to retain God in their knowledge. We're talking about knowledge, talking about truth. The Bible has a lot to say about that. There are preachers and there are churches that go directly against the clear teaching of the Bible, and they do it for their own cause and for their own reason. You can look around any city of any size, and you'll find all kind of false doctrine. And not only do you find buildings that are that we know that what they teach is foreign to the Word of God, but on Sunday morning, you'll see them people flocking in there, and they go in and they have no truth at all given to them. And many of them will spend their life going to that church or going to that particular religion, and they'll die without God, and they'll go there religiously, but yet without hope and without truth. What a sad commentary it is. What a sad thing it is to realize that there are those that have gone that direction. In the last few years, and I'll not say a whole lot on this, but in the last few years in our city and other cities, there has been an influx of what we call contemporary Christianity. There are places, I know of one place, that a group of people went in and they went door to door. They didn't go trying to win anybody to the Lord. They didn't go with the gospel, but they went door to door in that city. And their questions were, what kind of church would you like to have if you went to church? And they took all those answers and they formulate a plan and they say, this is what the people want. And so this is the kind of church we're going to have. And before long, they have a crowd going in that knows nothing and hears nothing and dies without anything. All across our country is like that. Churches springing up. And they're not building churches through soul winning. They're not building churches through telling people. They're not building their church by activities that would bring people in to the truth and the knowledge of the Lord. But they're doing that and finding people that are disgruntled and finding people that are unsettled. And they prey on them and they bring them into a place that they feel good. Sometimes we don't feel too good in the house of God. Sometimes the Word of God will cut us where we are. And we don't enjoy that. We don't like that. But that's the truth. That's how God brings us about to a place of understanding and knowledge. Paul tells us in his writings over in the New Testament, I think it's 7 or 8 times, he says, I would not have you to be ignorant. Paul says, I don't want you ignorant. He says, I want you to learn. I want you to know truth. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. We've read that time and time again in the New Testament in different places. Biblical ignorance is a real problem and was a real problem in the early days of the church, and it has not changed hardly at all today. There is a biblical ignorance of truth of what the Word of God says. Because when you preach truth, when you proclaim the message, there are always opposition to that, and sometimes we bow, we give, and all of a sudden truth is fallen in the street. No longer is it standing, and the foundation is destroyed. And the Bible asks the question, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? There's only one thing the righteous can do, that's to get back and rebuild the foundation and build upon truth. The Bible says in the book of Amos, chapter 8, verse 11 and 12, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor of thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Now notice here, God says, I'm going to send the famine. If you study the Old Testament, there's a lot of droughts, there's a lot of famines, and most of them was a result of people turning from God, and He sends on them troubles and discouragements and problems so that they might repent and turn back to Him. And so here Amos says, there's a day coming, saith the Lord. This is God speaking. He said, I will send a famine in the land. It's not a famine of bread. You're not going to have a shortness of food and water, but you're going to have a famine to the hearing of the words of the Lord. Not necessarily the speaking, but it's the hearing. Teachers having itching ears. The hearing. We don't want to hear it. We don't desire to have that. The Bible says in verse 12 there, Amos 8, And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. That's a strong judgment upon the people that turned their back upon truth. Why are so many people biblically ignorant? It's hard for me to comprehend some of this. Why are people so bent on false doctrine rather than accepting truth? Part of it, and I'm afraid a lot of it, comes from right behind the pulpit. There is a lack of structured Bible teaching and preaching. And we must be able to do that. Many churches, they have their programs, they have all their things that they do, but yet it's not structured to truth of God's Word. For years, Independent Baptists had the statement that we teach nothing but the Word of God. And that's the way it ought to be. But there are multitudes of people in churches tonight, if they're even open tonight, if they even have church tonight, there are multitudes of them that do everything but preach and teach God's Word. They have their social programs. They have their get-togethers. They have their breakfast. I read this morning, church, a large church. Come this morning, we're expecting 900, and we're all going to meet for biscuits and gravy. Almost drove over to it. I love biscuits and gravy with fresh tomatoes. But that's not the reason you go to the house of God. That's not the reason. Back in the 70s, we tried everything in the world to get people to come. We got them, didn't know what to do with them. Now that crowd is running the show and they have no spirit within them. And so there's a lack of structured teaching. Teaching must be doctrinally sound. Now, if you don't understand this, all you got to do is talk to a few people. When you get into the teaching, and by the way, the word doctrine just means teaching. When you get into the Word of God and you teach what God says is truth, you're going to find there's a lot of people don't agree with you, they don't like you, and they don't want to talk to you. But teaching must be doctrinally sound. It's got to be, thus saith the Lord. It's got to be according to the Word of God. I was talking to someone just this week, or last week maybe. Well, the church we go to, it's a pretty good church. They don't preach and teach what you do. That's okay. I thought we were a pretty good church as far as what we teach and preach. But they're a pretty good church. We enjoy all their activities. Truth fallen in the street. The teaching must be doctrinally sound. What thus saith the Lord? What is doctrinally sound? Whatever this book says is true. Doctrinal soundness is, we believe in the 6 days of creation, God rested on the seventh. We reject evolution. We reject the idea that a woman's body is her possession, she can do with it as she pleases, and so therefore she can kill her baby. We reject that because God says to reject it. There are certain principles or certain things in God's Word. We believe in the doctrine of salvation. There's one way to get saved. There's not 10,000 different ways. There's not two or three gods. There's not Allah and God are not the same. I was listening to a program the other day. It was recorded. It was back in the 80s. And this guy said, well, praise Allah. Now, that was very unheard of back in the 80s. But it caught my attention. I said, well, that's how it gets started. Just a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, and now see what we have. truth fallen. Where we read tonight there in Timothy, he tells us about coming to the knowledge of the truth, and the very next statement there, Paul says, there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. That is doctrinal soundness. And that's not accepted in a lot of places today. It must be structured. It must be systematic. You've just got to teach. You've got to learn. So the reason that we have biblical illiterates is because, and ignorance is because, somebody's failing the job. Somebody's not doing what they should do nationwide. And then on the other side of it, there's a lack of willingness to hear it. There are some folks, they're just not going to accept it. They're just not going to believe what is said. Preacher, you can't tell me I have to believe that. No, but God does. And if you don't believe it, you don't have to, but you're going to have problems if you don't. On salvation, if you don't believe truth there, you're going to die and go to hell. That's not very politically correct, but that is still truth. We don't get to heaven by climbing a ladder. We don't get to heaven by doing good. And it's an amazing thing to me, everybody that dies now, they're looking down out of heaven saying we're doing okay. Most ungodly creatures in this world, when they die, they go to heaven. Have no idea who God is or anything about God. But they're going to reject it. There's a lack of willingness to hear and to accept doctrinal teaching. Most people are looking for churches for all the wrong reasons. I'll be looking for truth. I'll be looking for righteousness. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Paul says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Paul is writing there to Hebrew Christians. He said, I got a lot of things to write to you, got a lot of things to tell you, but it's very difficult because you're dull of hearing. We would say they're hard of hearing. They just could not hear. In verse number 12, he says, for when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as to have need of milk and not strong meat. Paul said, you ought to be doing the teaching, but I have to teach you again because you can't handle it. Verse 13 says, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. If you don't want your skin tanned, don't read the Apostle Paul. Because he did not mince words. He said, you Hebrews, he said, I've got a lot of things to tell you, but you're just hard of hearing. You don't want to hear it. He said, the problem is, you've already heard it, you've rejected it, and now you're still taking the milk of the Word when you ought to be taking the meat of the Word of God. You ought to be that one that knows the difference between good and evil. It's amazing to me how many Christians are living their life and they act like they don't know righteousness from unrighteousness. They must hear the truth. They must desire the truth. And then we must grow in the truth of God. What's wrong with a lot of churches tonight? There's a lack of saved people. There's a lack of people that are willing to serve. There's a lack of desire. In order to be used of God, first of all, you've got to be saved. I'm not talking about our church, but you'd be surprised in how many churches you can go to and people are just not really sure they're going to heaven. They're just, I hope so. I'm doing the best I can, preacher. I'm doing what my church told me to do. I've tried all these things. I never will forget Miss Mary there in the hospital that day she got saved. She said, preacher, I've done everything my church told me to do. and I'm still empty. That's what religion does for you. Do this, do this, do this, do this. Give this and give that and you'll be okay. Oh, you're okay in their standing, but you're not okay in God's standing. And she said, I've done everything my church told me to do. And I believe she had. Very faithful to where she went. She started coming here. She'd come some on Wednesday night. And then she started coming Wednesday night and Sunday night. And then she started coming on Sunday morning. What she would do, when she wasn't here, she was going down here down the road and trying to soothe her conscience. And before long, she got to come in Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Guess what? She got saved. She said, I've done everything they told me, and I'm still empty. And that day before I left that hospital room, she knew the Lord. And very faithful from that moment on. And so, truth does not have to fall. Truth can stand. There is a spiritual truth that's beyond human experience and understanding. There's truth out there that is beyond our comprehension, but we believe it by faith. Who was I talking to this morning? Brother Larry. The world tonight does not understand this thing of faith. The scientific mind has a real problem with faith. The intellectual mind has a problem with faith. Because faith is believing the unseen. Faith is believing the unproven. Faith is even sometimes believing the unacceptable. I don't understand. I don't know about that. But this book tells us that we live by faith. We're saved by faith. We serve by faith. We die by faith. But our world tonight is so entwined in emotional, rational thinking that we've just about done away with the belief of God. Can I give the illustration? Brother Larry had a friend. Called him, was it yesterday? Called him yesterday. He said, I need to talk to you. I need you to come over. And come to find out, he has a 14-year-old boy that now says he does not believe that there ever was a God. You know where he got that from? He got it from his education. You know, part of the problem, I don't know the family, and I may be wrong, but I don't know that they've given him truth to build a standard of life on. I don't know. I don't know if they go to church or not. I don't know. If they do, maybe he didn't have the foundation from the pulpit to build his life on. And now they get to the conclusion, well, if this is all there certainly is not a God. And how do we combat that? One-on-one, little at a time, using the Word of God. The Word of God is the only thing that will break a heart that's hardened against God. It's not my tears, it's not my actions, it's not my words. But this book here can crumble the walls that the world puts up. So it's important tonight for the souls of men, women, boys, and girls that truth be not fallen in the streets. But that we come to the knowledge of the truth. That we come to a place where we understand there is a God. I don't understand all about Him. I don't know, and we never will till we get to heaven. But we by faith believe and understand this book gives us living by faith. May God help us tonight to heed the warning that Hosea gave to Israel. God has a controversy with you because there's no truth. There's no knowledge. May we heed the words of Paul as he tells to Timothy. He says, pray earnestly for everyone. because it's good and acceptable in the sight of God, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Truth is the most important thing in life. It determines where we go spend our eternity. It determines how we live. And it determines our rewards if we get saved. It determines what we get because we've worked for Him. Truth. Short little word, but what an eternity of worth. Let's stand tonight.